Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Yes, this is the Entheogenic Midwife podcast, and we are so happy to have Talise, the home birth queen, Xavier, with us. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am great. Yes,
That's
so good to hear
good.
your voice. I love your voice.
Oh, thank you. Yours as well. You have a nice voice for interviews.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so tell us about you.
Okay, well, my name is Talise. I am a wife, a mother of six children, all who I have home birthed, and I'm an author of Home Is Where the Birth Is, and all of that is taking up all of my time. And now, since I wrote the book, I have made it my mission to help re-normalize home birth, breastfeeding, and proper postpartum care. So that's about me. That's what I'm doing right now. And all
Wonderful.
of that is a lot. It's
Yes, how's the book doing?
doing good. It's doing good. It's right now I'm trying to basically get it out there and tell people about it because people I'm sharing the book right now, so it's doing good. And when people hear my, story, they're like, "Oh my goodness, I have to tell other people." And some people are like, "Well, I'm not having any more children." And I'm like, "That's fine." I was like, "Well, share it with those who may need it because it's just Black women home birthing is not a popular story. It's becoming popular. My oldest is 8, and I remember looking on YouTube trying to find videos of Black women or Black families home birthing. And it was really kind of hard to find. You could find, women just giving birth, but like intentionally, creating a space and being relaxed and it being a peaceful environment. That was kind of hard to find. But now, luckily, it's becoming more popular. And so I feel that it's a perfect time to share my story. And so people can say, oh, this is somebody, who's had six, and there are different varieties and different situations, and so hopefully it will inspire other women who want to know about it or are curious or have already made the decision to do it but would like some more ideas or tips or just somebody else to be like, I feel confident because I know you was doing it too,
Yes. Yeah, so I was looking through your book on Amazon. I can't wait to order it and read it.
Oh, yes. Hopefully you'll love it and learn some things along the way.
Yes, and be able to share, like, so my personal, a little bit about me. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 16-year-old, and they were both born via cesarean.
Oh, okay.
And after my 16-year-old, like, I cried for 3 days, and people are like, why? And I'm like, I know my baby was supposed to come out here, you know. So with being a birth worker, a birth doula, midwife's assistant these past 5 years, it's like, wow, I could have had my babies naturally without a problem. When you're educated, when you have the support, when you have a great partner, you know that anything is possible. And even through my years of being a doula in and out of the hospital settings, like now I don't do hospital births.
Oh, yeah, I'm not interested in
And
that
spirit had to move me on that, because you as a doula, you want to show up and support all moms in any
at all.
capacity. But with that, I have to protect my spirit as well. You know, when some of these things are triggers for me, when I see moms being manipulated or not being able to birth in the best way or the natural way. Yeah.
Yes, it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But luckily, I've never had to outside of my personal self being born, because I was born out of a cesarean section because the doctor told my mom I was breech and that we had to do C-sections like they tell women all over, the country all the time. We have to, even though I had both of my twins full term, both breech at my house with no issues whatsoever. But yeah, I've never even attended a hospital birth because, like you said, not that it's necessarily a trigger for me, but I just know it, the hospitals is about it's a business. So it's like a C-section, they're going to get more from that. So anything they can do to be able to, upsell you. It's like if you're renting a car trying to go on vacation, well, we can add this and add this and add this so they can get paid more. So that's how I view a C-section. It's like an upsell. Let me upsell you and so we can get more. Plus all of the exuberant fees for, tissue and all the other stuff in the room. Plus I saw recently, skin to skin contact. That's a fee. It's a fee for you to be handed your baby right after you gave birth to your baby. It costs money. They charge you for that. I saw what you call a receipt of the layout of the fees. And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Like it's almost laughable for me because it's like, and people are still saying, yeah, this is the best thing. But I always say, you have to do what's best for you. Women need to birth their way. But if you're asking me my opinion, I think, home is what's best personally.
It's apples and oranges. I remember the first home birth where we assisted a woman, like the incense were burning, the candles, upstairs was just like dark, and we had music. We were like chilling, while she just went through the motions. And I'm a massage therapist, so I'm normally, hands on, so just serving her and going with the flow. And then the baby came, and it was just like some subconscious part of me was like looking for more or extra, or like it wasn't even a lot of blood, it was just like, oh. So
That's
after that, I was like,
it.
oh, this is so spiritual, and how every baby needs to be ushered into this world. Of course, if they can. There are situations where there are emergencies, but like you say, breech. So all four of your twins were born breech?
I only have two twins, my goodness.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's what I mean. Two twins, but four babies.
one set of twins. I only have two girls that were born I carried at the same time. So I have a 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, 2 5-year-olds, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So the 2 5-year-olds were twins. And I didn't know I was having twins. And my first was in the birth pool. And then I had a doula there for this particular birth. And when I was pushing her out, she was like, oh, wait. She was like, that's a booty. So you just got to hold on. You can't, she's not normal. That's a booty I see. So you got to breathe her out a little slower. And then I didn't know I was having twins. And so then an hour later, I'm still trying to push out the placenta, which was very unusual because usually the placenta comes out all mine within like 5 minutes. And so then finally I'm pushing, 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 and out comes a leg. And this is with not no any knowledge whatsoever that I'm having twins. I'm thinking I'm having one child and I'm just waiting on a placenta. So out comes a leg and then the rest of her body and then the two placentas because they're not identical, they're fraternal. And so but she was breech too because the leg came out first. But it wasn't anything, deeper than that. It was, I mean, besides the fact I was shocked that I was having twins. But it's been sensationalized. And yes, I'm very clear that there are emergencies. That's why they're called emergencies. But my opinion, the hospital is for, if you have an injury or an emergency, but giving birth is just a natural body function. So it's not something that needs to be treated with this urgency. And oh goodness. Oh. Yeah, oh yeah. We have been trained from TV and women who have been through traumatic birth experiences that birth is supposed to be a big dramatic, lots of pain, lots of cussing and, hand squeezing and falling out and hollering all down the hallway. It's just supposed to be a huge dramatic affair. So like you said, you were like, that's it, where's the rest? I'm looking for something else, you know what I'm saying? But that's from training. So I had to reprogram myself and say, okay, this is not what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? This, it doesn't have to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Birth can be a peaceful, you know, lay there. I mean, I remember seeing a YouTube video where the woman was laying in the pool and literally I blinked my eyes and she was like leaning forward and I literally blinked my eyes and then the baby was like coming. She was, you know, bringing a baby up out the water. She barely even moved. And I had to keep, I watched it like every day. I kept wanting, like, it was almost like she sneezed and the baby came out, you know? But she was just so relaxed. She was in the birth pool and the baby came out. So it's I just feel like I'm about not only renormalizing home birth, but completely rebranding birth itself to make it know, you know, to make people know that it can be a relaxing, you know, just a relaxing event. Right. I remember I had a, this is my last one because my husband says I was lengthy, but, you know, I remember I had a 7-year-old telling me, this is my first, you know, I'm going to get home birth. It's going to be great. A 7-year-old was telling me, no, it's going to hurt. And she was telling me for a fact. But why? Because of TV, because of other women who have been around her. Mm-hmm. So now she's programmed to know it's going to hurt. And your body, you can only bring about what you have been thinking about, what you've been inundating yourself with.
Also what others project onto you as well.
That too as well. So that's why I tell women, if you're planning to home birth, I would suggest, you know, kind of keep that to yourself or be very selective about mm-hmm. who you tell. And if you tell someone and they give you a negative response, completely change the subject, try to talk about something else. They won't leave. Then you leave, because that you got to protect your mind just like you're protecting your baby when you're pregnant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I had a couple things to say in there.
Okay.
So how, your husband, how is he with the process of everything?
Oh, he is very hands-on. That's something that we never really disagreed on. I was kind of raised like that, and he was like, well, I mean, it makes sense to me. Like, why would we don't even be fooling with hospitals anyway, or doctors, because just because you have on a white coat doesn't mean you're an authority. You know, mm-hmm. doctors are dying at the same rate regular people are. They're not living extra time.
Right.
So it's like, whatever you're reading, you know, I can read it too, you know. And so he's always been on board from the beginning. He's extremely hands-on. He blows up the pool. He's been in the pool a few times. He's caught most of them. He's cut the cord for most of them. He definitely helps me as much as he can because he'd be tired too after the baby comes. But he is a big advocate with men being, both of us, with men being back in the birth room again. I don't know what happened where it was kind of like, oh, this is just a woman's thing. But we both believe that when a man is there, when he's at the birth of his child, when he's in the pool, literally catching his child, or when he's there witnessing a peaceful, you know, way of his child coming in, that gives him a different sense of responsibility.
Power.
It makes it and power for himself, but also to that child.
Yes.
To say, it's a little difficult to say, oh, me and your mama getting on my nerves, you know, it ain't gonna work, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Because you saw that child come into this world that you made, you mm-hmm. know? So he's just a very big advocate on, you know, men being there for their women during their pregnancy, and especially when the woman is coming out. And it also gives you a different respect for your mate, you know, saying, oh, I mean, that process of, you know, going from the different stages of labor and saying, wow, you know, she gave birth to my child. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm thankful that he has been very involved, and luckily that was never an issue for us. That is like, well, you want to do that? Because I've talked to someone who like wanted home birth, and their husband's like, that's dangerous, or they didn't want them to do it, or mm-hmm. they scared. And so it's, luckily we've never had that issue at all.
And that is a common thing. And men are learning more, thankfully, with technology. But yes, a lot of times the women want the home births, but they want to be the great wife, you know, in their mind, and not standing in their truth and their power as it relates to how they want to give birth. And when it's all said and done, what do they say? We should have stayed at home.
And there is a chapter in my book for the fellas. It's a little section, so it's not long. But you know, if you do get my book, let your husband or your boyfriend or whoever read that section, because it's important to, just like women have been miseducated, the men are watching these same movies. You know what I'm saying? They've heard their aunties, mamas, grandmas, cousins, all the women around say, "Yeah, I went to the hospital." It's like I went to the gas station to put gas in my cars. It's supposed to be natural. So that's just completely going against their whole worldview as well. Like at home, like what? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and for a lot of people, their home is not their sacred space or their sanctuary.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people. I say, well, you know what? If you just can't do it at home, consider a birth center, because that's at least a, if you want the feel like, okay, well, I'm not ready to be in my house yet, you want that feel, try a birth center that has midwives and doulas that are have that same mentality of, we want this to be a home birth away from home, you know? Because it's everybody might not be ready for the home birth yet. I understand that, but try that step at least. Don't, please try, you know, if you're having a healthy, normal birth, then try, consider that as a as another alternative. Please.
Yes. And I just want to touch base real quick back on your partner. And the births that I've seen, like for the Black community, and maybe all communities, but for our community specifically, like I've seen when those partners show up and show out, like it makes a world of difference.
Yes, it
Like
really
I,
does. It
it's
really
almost like I
does.
see another reason why they've allowed us to come into their hospitals after being banned forever, is because there's a divine magic, a supernatural shift that takes place when everything is in alignment with that man, that woman, and that child
Yes,
coming here and
yes.
being supported. And boy, we cry, you know, one of the dads
Yes.
with the surprise, gender for the baby, and they were wanting a girl
Oh.
and got the girl, like, and the kissing and the intimacy. It's like YouTube doesn't serve it, you know,
Oh
movies don't serve it.
no.
Those divine portals, when they're open, like, it's beautiful.
It really is. It really is. And I remember with the last two births I had, we were unassisted. It was just me and my husband. And I always felt like at the end of my births, now I would verbally say I would get a little too excited, you know, at the end. And I told him, like, just make eye contact with me and just be like, just, you know, relax. It's, you know, it's no rush, just relax. And the last two times, you know, I made eye contact with him, and it completely helped me to be able to calm down and not be like, okay, I gotta get this baby out right now. Poop, you know what I'm saying? It was more of a like, you know, I trust my husband. I know, you know, he's not trying to do anything to me. And even with my births where I had the midwife and doula there, it's still, I don't know them. You know what I'm saying? I grew to become close with them, but it, like you're saying, it's a different relationship with your husband, and you two have made this baby together. And he's been there throughout my whole pregnancy, so it becomes a family activity. It's not the woman had a baby off to herself and now we all as a family unit. No, we did this together. We made this baby together. We're going to the extent that you can, we're going to have this baby together, you know?
Yeah, and see it through in life and in transition if the baby doesn't make it. You know, that's all a part of it, where sometimes they're like, man, we go into the hospital. What if something happens? Guess what? This is life, and death, for lack of better words, is a part of it. Some couples are gonna carry a child, and sometimes that child will not make it earthside like that.
That's true. That's true. I've had a miscarriage, and I talk about that in my book too, about ways to deal with that. But it's definitely a part of life. But it's just, it's good when you have support for anything, like if, you know, birth. But you know, if you have a teammate, you know, when it's one person, it's easy for you to get in your mind. Like you're saying, you know, they separate you to the hospital. It's easy for people to get in your mind, especially in that state, and be like, well, maybe you should consider the epidural. You sure you don't want, you know what I'm saying? If you just got one person, when you have somebody who's strong, especially my husband. My husband is not a pushover. He's like, if he's not doing something, he's not doing it. And if we've agreed to something, it's not happening. And so it's good when you have someone in that corner who can be that voice for you, so you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. You know, me and my wife talked to, or my, you know, girlfriend, we said she's not doing that, she's not interested in that, so what kind of other things can be done so we don't have to worry? I mean, so we don't have to entertain that idea. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
Yes,
it's very important to have that support.
yeah, and the husbands are advocates as well, so it's important that
Right.
they're aware of the processes of birth and medicine and just
Right.
self-awareness, period. You know,
Right.
and I look to the day where we all can become more conscious in our preconception of birth,
Right.
you know, where we're pulling these beings from the spirit realm purposefully and with intentions of how we're going to give birth and how we're going to nourish and nurture these beings and ourselves and our environments throughout the process.
Yes, I agree. And I think that one of the main reasons for fear and fear period is not being educated. They're not prepared. But if you read everything that you can get your hands on that is on a positive slant about home birth, if you know, okay, well, what happens if, you know, the baby is this? Well, how can I turn the baby? Well, how can I this? How educate yourself? Then it gives you more of a sense of confidence versus you just saying, hey, we're gonna have a home birth. That's why I tell women, you should definitely, and have your man included, make a birth plan. You know what I'm saying? Talk about, you know, how do you want your room? Who do you want there? Do you want a midwife and doula? You know, do you want your husband there? What things could possibly happen, and what would be your contingency plans for that? You know what I'm saying? People are just unprepared. So it's just like, well, no wonder you're scared, because you have no idea what could possibly happen. And if something were to happen, you have no way to deal with it. But when you're prepared for something, of course, we know things do still not necessarily always go to the plan, but at least you are have a sturdy foundation of saying, okay, this is what we expect to happen. And when you meditate on it and visualize on it throughout your pregnancy, it's a more probably that it will happen.
Your plan, you mean?
Yes, your plan will most likely come to fruition.
Absolutely. Yes, because the doulas are oftentimes the advocate and things, and it's just an interesting space because oftentimes the husbands are so spiritually connected to the mom. It's like, I don't want her to hurt, you know, once
Oh,
that those contractions kick in and she's the woman you've never seen before. You
right.
know,
Imagine. Yes.
things get real at that point. So, you know, yeah, and going through other, I feel in relationships, I am a single woman,
Oh, I
but
understand.
but
I understand.
having goals and a vision with your relationships and sticking with that, because things are going to happen, but can we stick through to that vision?
Exactly,
You know, so
exactly.
already be smashing goals before you decide to get pregnant, you know.
Exactly. You have 9 months. I don't think it's a, you know, act, you don't get pregnant and boom, you have a baby. You have time to prepare yourself as much as you can, you know, especially with your first child. You know, it's with all the preparation, it's still like, oh my goodness, you know, but prepare yourself as much as you possibly can. And that touches on what I love to talk about is postpartum care, because that's kind of, it's just kind of like a whatever, you know, just like, oh, you know, you had a baby, get back to normal life, which is crazy because it took you 9 months to make this baby in the first place, just on your body. And, you know, giving your body time to heal and being able to have a plan for that as well, to say, okay, get as much help as you can. I tell people, if you, yes, your mom-in-law get on your nerves, your mama get on your nerves, but if you can tolerate them, try to have them help you with this baby. If you can't, you don't have no friends, no family, I understand that too. Save some money while you're pregnant. You'll be pregnant for 9 months. Put aside some money once a week, every check or whatever, to have you get a housekeeper or a nanny or a babysitter or somebody, because that time is just as crucial to have a support team as with birth. It's almost more crucial because, like, whenever I'm getting close to have a baby, it's like, okay, I know this is about to change all dynamics. When I'm pregnant, I don't have to worry about feeding anybody. I don't have to worry about changing diapers, clothes, any of that. The baby's inside me. It's all taken care of.
Sleeping
when that baby,
good.
right. Exactly. I don't have to worry about anything. But once that baby comes out, things are going to change. So it's important that we, the man is, because it's tiring, because even if you're breastfeeding, it is tiring because it's a new person in your environment, new schedule, the baby's getting used to everything as well. So it's just important for men to be around at that time too. And that time can get really stressful. And that's why I say, you know, try to have someone else in any capacity to come, even if it's just hold the baby so you can take a shower, or y'all can just go in another room and take a nap. Those things, that's very important as well.
Listen, postpartum, as you know more than I do, is everything. It's everything. It so with being, yes. again, being a birth worker and a mom also,
yes.
it's like, okay, I'm pregnant, I'm changing, I'm throwing up, I got the big nose,
yes.
You know, my round ligament pain, you know, well, what's going to happen when this baby comes out? You play 1,000 scenarios, but when you holding that baby in your arms, like that's when life gets really real. Whether you're producing
yes.
enough breast milk, whether you
yes.
had medicated birth, like mm-hmm. did you tear and need stitches, like all of these things,
yes.
and how mm-hmm. your partner and your support team, like that's the mental health piece.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that many don't talk about is like how we were born and how we after we have our first child, like that mental health from that point forward.
Right, right. And that's something that I think Black people in the Black community, we don't really want to talk about, you know, because even me, when I first had my daughter, I'd heard about postpartum depression, but I kind of thought, you know, that's something that happens in other communities. I don't got to worry about that. But when my husband had went for work that day and it was me and this baby and she just started crying, I was just like, but it's not, we don't talk about that, but it's a real thing. Dealing with a newborn baby, that's not something you should be doing by yourself. Just like we don't live on this earth by ourselves, you interact with other humans, you grow from dealing with other humans. It takes a village to raise a child, and also a mother, and also couples, and also adults.
Mm-hmm.
If you're about the business of continuing to keep growing, learning more, you need other people interactions to handle that. So it's a necessity, I would say. Just like, you know, the woman needs to make sure she's eating enough. And if she, you know, wants to keep her breast milk up, she needs to be eating oatmeal and certain things like that. It's a necessity for her to have people around, for her to stay in a sane state
mm-hmm.
and a happy state. Because that's still, though she's no longer physically have the baby inside of her, she's still nurturing a new baby and herself. She's new. Even if this is your 6th, 10th, 4th, 3rd baby. It's still a different experience every time. I can say that. For me, each time is a different experience, especially if you're having twins.
You become a whole new woman.
Yes, each time. And so it's a need that people have, women have help and assistance after they have a baby. And not just, you know, all this, you know, 1 week. It's up to a year. You know, if you know someone, if you're close to somebody who has had a baby, you know, keep checking on them. Because I seen a meme the other day, you know, somebody asked the woman, she just had a baby, you know, how you doing? She's like, I'm fine. And then it's this big old bubble.
With a list. Yeah.
Right. Of all the things that she's still thinking about, you know. And I think it's longer than the 6 weeks postpartum period. I think that's just silly. 6 weeks. That's it. I'm good after 6 weeks. You know, I can go back to work. I can function like a normal person. That's ludicrous.
But dogs, you can't take the puppies away from a dog for 8 weeks.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I didn't even know that.
Yes, legally. That. Legally. You will get shut down if one of them puppies leave.
Are you
serious? Oh, yeah. So serious. So it just really shows the blatant disrespect, really, that there is for a birthing mother.
Yes.
You know, even the family when the dad has to go back to work. So there's definitely a lot of restructuring we have to do as far as birth goes, you know, even with who we're having children by, and just allowing those frequencies and vibrations and consciousness into our bodies.
That is so true.
Then clearing that space in between children when you may not have had a desirable birth outcome or maybe a miscarriage, like you have to clear that space in the womb.
Yes, definitely have to heal from that experience and find out whatever method can help you. And I talk about that with miscarriages in my book, but you definitely need to, I feel it's not only healthy for your body and your mental state, but also for the baby you just had. Like, you know, women, I've had my twins, I had them real close to after my son. And I just remember being sad because it's like, oh, I didn't really get to nurse him as long as I wanted to. I didn't get to give him the time he needed. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's a good point that I don't think people, I haven't really heard people talk about that much, but make sure you have space between your children, even if it's 2 years, because that way 2 years your child's talking, walking, you know what I'm saying? They might, may probably be potty trained so that you, and say, hey, I've given you, you know, the best of me now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's important, that healing from having a baby, that's important. I really agree it's important.
That, and I like to add, even if the babies do come earlier, not beating yourself up about it, you know, observing it and being accountable, you know, but there's still that piece where sometimes we can be too hard and too heavy on ourselves. And it's like, hey, we're growing a child and we have to be aware of those frequencies that we embody while they're inside of us.
That's true. That's true. You have to be, it's such a delicate state. I always want to wrap up pregnant women in like bubble wrap when I see him out in the public because it's just like, oh my god, you're so fragile right now. Women be like, I just do whatever, you know, I'm just like everybody else. It's like, no, you're not. Right now you are not like everybody else. You are creating a new life, and how you give birth to a child is helping to change the world if you're doing it in a, I would say, in the best manner you possibly can.
Yes, from that higher vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yes. Now, what are some ways you feel women can prepare for a home birth?
I would say for preparing for a home birth, well, definitely making a birth plan. So like I mentioned earlier, deciding how you see a birth looking to you. First, it's like if you're planning to, you know, make a house or, you know, go on a vacation or a road trip, first you're going to think about what you want to experience, how it's going to look to you. So first do the brainstorming. So how do you, you know, what does this birth look like to you? Is it a bunch of people? Are your children there? Is your mate there? Is it midwife or doula? Is it, you know, just you? Is it, you know, twinkly lights? Do you have a light dimmer? Is it just candles? How do you see, like you said, incense, you see, smells. And of course, you know, when you're in birth, I remember one time I had some music and I was like, turn that off. I don't want to hear anything. I just want complete silence, turn it off. And, you know, it's just, it's planning how you want it. And then how do you prepare? Oh, yeah. And then reading and educating yourself. Finding books like mine and books about people who are positively talking about birth stories and their birth experiences that are positive. Like we were saying, YouTube, there are so many videos now. If you type in peaceful home birth, I mean, you could just keep going and going and going because there's so many now. Orgasmic birth, there are different, you know, techniques out there. Orgasmic birth, do some research on that. I tried hypnobirthing, and I found that worked for me, which is basically putting yourself in a super relaxed state. So nothing is really, it's like you're in a relaxed bubble, and you're in control of what's coming in that bubble and what's going on in your bubble, and nothing can shake that bubble except you, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing research on different techniques, educating yourself on different tools that you can use in your birth space. So if you're going to use a birth ball, or if you're going to have a rope hanging from the ceiling, or if you want to have, I think it's called a cube, Or if you want to have a birth pool, because some people don't want to be in the water, and that's okay. You know, there's other ways and things you can sit on. Like now there's so many contraptions out there to see, okay, you know, test that out, or, you know, talk to somebody. Can I come check yours out? I've seen, you know, you use that. I'd like to see how that feels to me. And of course, you know, you're not actually having labor, but just so you check out your options. So, you know, how to prepare for a best is basically finding out all the options that are available out there. Like, you know, what teas that are available, what scents help with relaxation, like lavender, you know what I'm saying? Just basically arming yourself for making your birth to be your way. And so I feel that's how you can best plan for it, is, you know, talking to other women, doing research on your own, and also asking yourself, what do you see when you envision your birth?
Yes, and also, what's your truth? So I want to add to that, the balance with the YouTube and the social media and things. Like, sometimes these videos only capture the perfect moments of that birth. You know,
yes,
women, a lot of times they don't know that the man has not been there since the pee hit the stick. And now he walks through the door and he kisses her just right, or caresses her just right. And it's like, there's other pieces to that.
Exactly. And if your man isn't there, which would be unfortunate, but if he isn't, and that is life sometime, saying, well, who can I find as a good support team? And that's how I feel even now. Like, I know single mothers. Like when my dad was coming up, my dad is in his 60s. When their father wasn't in the home, they didn't just say, okay, well, I'm going to be the mama and the daddy. They say, no, I'm going to find other men, a support team, whether it's the basketball coach and the bus driver and this person. I'm going to find other men that can help assist me with raising my son. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if you just needed a mother to raise a son, then mothers will be able to have children by themselves. But it takes a woman, mother and a father. So similarly, when you're having birth, it's, you know, you can do it by yourself. Women do it all the time. You know, the baby's going to come out when it comes out. But when, like you said, when you're trying to plan that, then say, okay, let me set up people who I know that I can count on. Because your auntie may be a strong woman. She may not know anything about birth, but she may have your back. And she may be able to say, well, baby, I'm going to be there for you. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you need me to do, you know, I'm going to be there to help you, you know? So, you know, finding those, if you can, and I, you know, I understand sometimes you can't, and if you can't, then, you know, set up your birth situation as best as you can with what you have. And it's also about, I say a lot is about not what happens to you, but how you choose to deal with it mentally.
Yes.
It's like if you get in an argument with someone, you can choose to stay in the argument and stay mad and, you know, take it all the way. Go, you know, take that energy as high up, get as angry as you can be. Or you can say, you know what? You can make a conscious effort to be conscious in yourself and say, you know what? I'm not going to further this argument. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be sad or be upset because this situation, it is what it is. And when I found for myself personally, when I have a positive attitude, positivity comes to me. When I have a negative attitude, negativity comes to me. It's like it's trying to find me. It's like a magnet. So if you're positive, it's like you put on a magnet right now for positivity. Yes, negativity will come because that's just life. And nobody's life is perfect where you don't have positive and negative. But it makes it more prone for those kind of situations to come to you. So, you know, It's everything. I truly, truly believe everything is about your mind. I truly, truly believe that. And, you know, it's about how you choose to deal with things. Yeah, I mean, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. Your mind is going to bring about what you're thinking and attracting. And you can always change. It may take time if you've been on a wavelength, like women, like my first birth. I thought I was, you know, I had watched enough home births, read some videos, read enough books, and, you know, this is going to be a peaceful, perfect home birth. But I didn't realize all those years of watching those videos, I attracted that kind of birth to me. I was hollering, I was cussing. It was very dramatic. it was a home birth, but it was very dramatic, just like a movie. But then I said, after that first birth, I said, you know what? I don't have to have that experience. And I don't want to have that experience. And I'm not going to say it was a bad experience, but it's not what I want to have. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, well, I'm going to change that. I'm going to heal myself from that experience. And I'm going to solely focus on a better experience for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot. It took it wasn't, you know, just I said that and boom, it happened. It took work. Just like, you know, it takes work to do anything else. It takes work to program your mind to do something that has been taught against your whole life. So every day, this was an everyday thing. I wrote down how I wanted my birth to be every day. And I don't really, you know, I'm not a handwriting kind of person. I'd be like, oh Lord, I got to write in a journal. But I said, do you want to complain about writing a journal, or do you want the birth you want? Oh, I want the birth I want. You know what I'm saying? So I wrote in my journal every day. And it became more difficult with the more children I had, but I would have to go sit in the car or hide from my children because I said, I want this kind of birth. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I want a peaceful birth. So I am going to make the time to take time to visualize how do I want my birth to be. I'm not going to entertain. When I will be watching movies and a random birth scene will come on, I'm fast forwarding. I don't even let my daughters watch that now, or my son. They don't, if a birth scene come on, I'd be like, go out the room or fast forward or close your, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't even want them to be indoctrinated in that. And I don't really plan on having children, but I still don't watch those scenes. I'm like, just in case, I'm not going to even keep putting that in my head. So it's really about self-control in terms of being able to say, I'm going to make an effort to change my mind. You know?
Well, I think that's where also like the commitment comes in. Yes. And with the commitment brings accountability, mm-hmm. as well. So you're like, I'm having a home birth. I don't care what mm-hmm. mama say. I don't mm-hmm. care what, you know, I don't care what anybody has to say.
Yeah.
I'm having this home birth and I'm willing to do everything that I know to do. So again, right. home birth is kind of trendy right now, mm-hmm. which has its advantages and disadvantages, of course, but it's about yeah. being prepared. Like, you need right. to be well hydrated, right. you know? So if you're a person right. that doesn't like to drink water or doesn't like to eat properly, yeah, in some cases the babies pop out just fine anyway. But when mm-hmm. you want to do everything, you know, that's going to make it go as smoothly as possible, yes. everything that's in your control, you yes. know, again, you can't yes. say you're going to have a home birth, but again, you're telling everybody and you're exposed to their projections and negative yes. energies. And you're like, well, how did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought everything, mm-hmm. I did everything. You know, sometimes yeah. other people's stuff can ride in on your experience.
Yes, yes. It's so true. It's so true.
So definitely so true. Doing that. What would you say are maybe three major components to postpartum care?
Three major components is help, outside help, and as much as you can get outside help. You trying not to be a superwoman, the mother. This is not time to put on your superwoman cape. Fold it up and stick it in the drawer. This is not that time for, you know, black woman power or woman power or I'm the strong woman. Nope, this is not that time for that. This is your time for rest, healing, rejuvenation, connecting with your baby, feeding your baby. That's it. You shouldn't be lifting anything heavier than your baby. You should not be focusing on anything but you and the baby and still, you know, your relationship if you're still cool with your child's father. Try to still take time for that because that's a very time, but that's important. I would say don't forget that. But yeah, help you rest. And this is something that can be done during pregnancy. Setting your life up as easily as you can while you're pregnant for the postpartum. So I tell women, you know, whatever food you like to eat, you know, try to have that, make that while you're pregnant and have it in the freezer. Try to set up a meal plan. So a meal plan, basically, you know, if you have friends or family, say, hey, you know, I have somebody else do it. Like if you have a homegirl who's doing your baby shower, have her do that during your baby shower, or have her call your friends and say, hey, you know, after Omalay was having this baby, you know, we need people to bring.
No, I'm just like, hold it now.
She's like, not me, not me.
Now,
you know, after this sister has the baby, you know, let's make sure we go by to bring food. Don't go by to socialize. Go by to hold the baby, or go by to wash the dishes, or go by to empty the trash, or go by to get the children that she already has. You know what I'm saying? And take them out or occupy them so she can take a nap. Try to set up things as best as you can. Go ahead and have your, you know, your breastfeeding area set up so it's real easy. You don't got to really be going that far. You know what I'm saying? Your station's right there. Already have your diapers and your clothes, whatever, right there. So it's about setting up for that time, whether you have help or not, because unless somebody's living with you and they gonna get tired too, you know, you still want to make it as easy as for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Get outside help, whether it's your doula, a postpartum doula, which if I have another child, I'm definitely getting me one of those. But a postpartum doula, or, you know, a relative, or a cleaning lady, or a nanny who comes in, or friends, or whoever, get some help. Your spouse, the baby, the child's father, them, have them help as much as they can. Your children that you already have them help. And setting it up so, excuse me, setting it up so to make it easier for you as possible when that help may not necessarily be there. And I would add a little asterisk and one more thing. Also, what's really important when you already have children is preparing your children for a new baby. Because even when your children are, you know, old, you know, like, excuse me. Even when your children are old, it still is a dynamic shift when you have a new baby. So, you know, we think, oh, you don't need no extra attention. You big enough, you understand it, but it still affects them. So still taking time, you know, come in the room with me and the baby, or come here, I just want to spend some time with you. Yes, I'm sitting here nursing the baby, but I want to talk to you. How was your day? And I think this is just a good practice for parents in general, but, you know, preparing your small children. Okay, you're going to be a big sister, big brother, so mommy can't necessarily hold you all the time, you know, and you're going to have to help mommy with the baby, you know, but, you know, not forgetting the rest of their family after the baby comes to you.
And I want to add, in addition to that, even sometimes when the babies don't make it, offering the healing and holding the space for those other children and checking in on them periodically for months and years to come, even, or just being aware that they are affected. And sometimes maybe even more, the child may be able to speak through them or communicate. So, definitely being sensitive to them as well.
I mentioned in the book where you could, in my miscarriage chapter, but having like a little ceremony. Some people don't want to do all that, but, you know, just having a little, maybe, you know, you write down how you feel about the baby or the experience, or, you know, whatever, and maybe lighting a candle and burning the papers, or going to, you know, some water, whether it's a river, lake, or whatever, and doing the same thing, writing it down and then releasing it. You know what I'm saying? That might be something. And I say this is good for any kind of, you know, traumatic or experiences that were very hurtful to you, doing it, you know, over and over and over until you like, man, I release it and I really don't feel, you know, a bad way or a sad way about it. It's an event. Like right now, I don't feel sadness when I think about my miscarriage. And that's how that's my gauge for myself to know, okay, I have healed from this situation. I used Earth, Wind, and Fire's Imagination. That was my song. You know, I was going to say, I will play that, get a good cry, and be like, okay, you know, and keep going. But now I can listen to that song and be like, this is my jam again. You know, I don't feel sad. I'm not boo-hooing, which is it's healthy. We've also been kind of taught, you know, oh, just, you know, be strong. You be strong. You don't got time to cry. You know, for men and women, I'm not saying men start boo-hooing all over the place. You know, I think it's healthy that men cry, but you may want to, you know, get a safe space where, you know, you're not in front of everyone, but, you know, that it's healthy to be able to release those, to release those feelings.
Yes, one of the greatest forms of purification we have. The brothers need to cry, and we have to start holding space for them to do that. You know, and brothers shouldn't be with women in relationships and having babies when they're full of stuff.
Yes,
you know, I know we all show up where we are and we meet people where they are, but sometimes there's masks and there's layers of trauma, and oftentimes it comes through the semen.
Yeah, it does.
It
most certainly does. What you're eating, what you're thinking about, all of that is used to initially create that baby. And then we're just building on top of that initial where the sperm and the egg was at.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening or you hear this and you're deciding on having a baby, this is great that you're not already pregnant. Because now you can decide, okay, like you're saying, I can drink more water, I can eat a healthy diet, I can be conscious of what I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? And there's books out there now on how to have the child that you want based on what you're eating and your position while you're having sex as well. So it's just, it's very important, like you were saying, you know, to be mindful when you're conceiving a child, and even if you haven't thought about before, while you're, that child is still forming. Because that child still has to form brains and body parts, and the environment that you're in during that time is still creating, shaping that baby. Just like how when a child comes out, that environment shapes that child. So it's you can't turn it off how you're shaping your child. If you're around them, they're being shaped by you and your energy and, you know, your vibrations and, you know, how you're talking and how you're behaving.
Yeah, also your past experiences, you know, have you been raped?
Yeah.
Have you been molested? Mm-hmm. You know, clearing out that space before you decide to get pregnant. And another thing that I'm finding with my experience is, what is your truth?
Right.
You know, are you breastfeeding because everybody's pro breastfeeding on Facebook?
Mm-hmm,
so when it comes time for you to breastfeed that baby and he's just wanting to pacify or cluster feed and you're not used to sharing your body, like it can become that. I think that's when the postpartum depression can kick in and the anxiety, because that's not your truth.
Right,
and it's okay to pump your milk and offer your baby a bottle if that's what's going to keep you sane.
Yes. And I say this, if you can't breastfeed for whatever reason, please pump. Please, because the nutrients that your body is producing is specific for your particular baby.
Mm-hmm.
That breast milk was made, is being made for your particular baby. And the nutrients that child is getting from that breast milk that's stimulating the brain cells and strengthening the brain cells and all of the health benefits, formula cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say it's like breast milk. It's not. So please, if you are not breastfeeding, try your best to pump and nurse that child. And it's also beneficial to the mothers. I think a lot of times people don't do stuff because they just don't know why I should do it. They say, oh, you should breastfeed because that's what your breasts are for. It's way deeper than that. It helps women. Breastfeeding actually helps against postpartum depression.
Uh-huh.
It helps the women fight against women cancers and diseases that women can encounter. It helps stop that. It helps women get back to your pre-birth weight. It helps your uterus contract back to its pre-pregnancy size. So it's many benefits for breastfeeding. You know, we talk about it for the babies, but it's beneficial for the mother as well. And I think it was designed that way so that it encourages the mother and the woman to say, well, this is what I want to do. It makes sense to do that. You know what I'm saying?
It benefits all parties involved and into the communities.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm a big proponent for it. I mean, it's all about education.
It's all about education and awareness and consciousness. Like, we're not being taught these things. I don't think I ever saw a woman breastfeed. You know, and then you don't have the support. My daddy like, yo, you still doing that shit? It's like, you have to fight against the people who are in your immediate surrounding. So it's like, as a birth worker coming in and educating grandma who breastfed or who may have bottle fed 10 of her babies, formula fed, and in her mind, they came out fine.
Right,
So sometimes
exactly.
you have to be self-empowered being pregnant. And that's why I say, again, as far as your truth goes, are you becoming a wife and becoming pregnant because that's what society wants you to do?
Exactly.
So I'm like, this is a whole nother layer of once you get pregnant and have that baby, like that man can, he can transition and pass away.
Yes.
You know, that's a whole nother thing, but do you still want this baby?
Right, exactly.
You know, did you want it just for him or just because people are wondering if you want to get pregnant? Like, it's okay not to be a mother.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to say it's not okay to breastfeed, but there are other factors involved and we work through it.
Yeah.
But like I said, get into that truth and say, if you don't want to breastfeed, because that's one thing I learned with a birth workshop in Florida. Some women, someone on their breast suckling could have been from their first molestation. Their father may have suckled on their breast as a child. So we can't always force feed down, breastfeeding down women's throat when we don't know people's journey and experience. And as a birth worker, on like our first day of class, they told us, this is not your birth. And that's like, wow. So sometimes we as the birth workers or the community want a woman to have a certain experience when we have to humble ourselves, check ourselves, and just provide the education and hold the space for the woman to make the decisions that she feels is best for herself and her family.
Yes, I agree with that 1,000,000,000%. I tell people, if anybody wants to follow me on Facebook or Instagram, it's Talise Home Birth Queen. And I always try to post positive images about pregnancy, breastfeeding, postpartum care, sometimes funny, but a lot of informative information, lots of important information. And that is something I try to share a lot. The role of a doula and a midwife. That is not, like you said, it is not your birth. It's not their birth. This is your birth. Their job, they're working for you to help you. And that's why in my book, I have a list of questions in the back. So you can already gauge from the beginning, what kind of person are you? Even when you first meet somebody, you could tell if somebody's going to try to be running your thing. You know what I'm, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And paying attention to that energy.
Yes.
Everybody's suspect. In a way, not suspect, but being sensitive to your environment and just the processes of birth overall. And like I always tell moms, I'm just a character in your story. I'm not pushing out a baby today. So we're here for you, you know. So home is where the birth is.
Yes.
That's your book, and it's available on Amazon.
Yes, right now it's solely available on Amazon, but yes, this home is where the birth is, the stories of my 6 home births and how you can do it too. And it is only $14.95. I wrote it so that it's a simple read for anybody of any kind of reading ability, because I didn't want to make it so it was so technical, or, you know, people like, oh, this is too much. I just really want to, as simply as possible, share my story so that, you know, women could say, oh, I can do this too. You know what I'm saying? It's not a rocket science, or it's not just she's a vegan, or it's not just, you know, it's something special about her. No, every woman, you know, if you're healthy, you have the ability to do the same thing. And so I just wanted to provide inspiration by sharing my story with women and say, you know, you can do it too.
Yes. Well, thank you so much
for
sharing.
Me.
Yes. And I want to know more. So I'm not going to give it away all on the show and ask too many questions. I'm going to get the book, you know, because with the book, you can read it and sit with it and digest it a little bit at a time and really reflect. And I look forward to even healing through your birth stories, because we're here to empower one another. Just because I've had 2 home births don't mean that I can't have more, you know, that I can't have a home birth because I've had 2 cesareans.
Yeah, you see, maybe that's why I said that. And I wasn't trying to be on Malayla's birth, but maybe it's in the stars for you.
No, not in this dimension. You know why? Because for me, I can look at ego, and part of my ego, I'm going to wrap it up because this thing is going to end. But
Okay.
I have to sit with my truth and say, do I want to self-sacrifice again for another human being? Because the way I show up in the birth space, I have lots of babies and husbands and moms that I can be better for. I can show up better for them than I can through self-sacrificing at this time.
Yes. And that's even more beautiful, I would say, helping other women be able to, you know, find their truth and help support them in bringing, you know, babies to the world that, in the best way that they can. So that's a beautiful thing. I give my hat off to doulas and midwives.